Imagine a vivid image, the ancient Indus Valley region where barbaric warfare has led to an odious scene. The young, fatherless children are mourning as the few soldiers left traipse lethargically through the town, returning from the War of Kalinga. Ashoka, witnessing the unfolding events, weeping at the sight of the havoc he has inflicted on his people. Amongst political ideologies of government, there seems to be one system that has produced the largest standing impact, the welfare state. Hello, and welcome back to Handy History, where through the lens of historical periods and figures, we are able to see how current leaders are impacting our world through government systems. In this episode, The Road to Welfare, we travel through the journey to the modernised welfare state, first beginning with the venerable king of ancient India. Ashoka the Great initiated the rights of impoverished through taxes, as well as guided societies as they redeveloped his welfare systems for their own settings, such as historical figures who practiced pacifism, Martin Luther King and Gandhi, and those who utilised it poorly, such as the Roman Empire. But how did this peaceful king begin as a war-driven ruler? During the upbringing of a lionized Ashoka in the Indus Valley of ancient India in the Mauryan Empire era, his journey to the pinnacle of the welfare state began as a power-hungry maniac. When his reign commenced in 262 BC, King Ashoka waged war against the Kalingan Empire, leading to the barbaric slaughtering of his people, dying under his rule, 150,000 captured, 100,000 slain, under his so-called venerable philosophies of warfare. It took Ashoka this loss to form the welfare state's acknowledgement of citizens' rights. As Ashoka stated, even 100th or 1,000th of those who were slain, died, or captured in Kalinga is considered regrettable by the beloved of the gods. Through this watershed experience, Ashoka also adopted the non-violent religion of Buddhism, then seeking to have others convert to these concepts and form a dominion with a non-violent approach. He sent missionaries to preach his edicts, as well as pronouncing these changes to the citizens of the Indus Valley, stating, "Proper behaviour towards servants and employees, generosity to friends, and not killing living beings." Alongside these laws, Ashoka exhorted his people, accounting for their needs, and through many assets that we have today. Ashoka's personal watershed moment, his concept of the welfare state has impacted societies across time. We're currently at the home of H.G. Wells to speak with Hagrid Gerald Wells, descendant of the reputable English writer, known as a social commentary figure, Herbert George Wells, or H.G. Wells. Hello, Hagrid.
Hello.
Hagrid, could you give us your opinion on Ashoka's impact on our society?
Well, Hannah, as my granddad would say, amidst the tens of thousands of names of monarchs that crowd the columns of history, their majesties and graciousnesses and serenities and royal highnesses and the like, the name of Ashoka shines and shines almost alone, a star.
Interesting. Could you expand on this?
Well, in saying this, I was explaining how much, compared to others, Ashoka influenced how we live today with the concept of the welfare state. As he is such a pivotal pillar of our English society today and impacted how we all thrive as a community.
Wells, thank you very much. We'll see you next time. Although Ashoka's empire displayed one of the earliest records of the concept of welfare state, there were many other societies that followed his philosophies, although many not succeeding, such as the Roman Empire. Due to the influences of Gaius Gracchus, understanding for the regulation of citizens' rights, the concept was conceptualized during the 2nd century BCE to include soldier pensions and subsidized water and healthcare. Despite this, when subsidized food was granted to the poor, there was an influx of poverty in rural areas due to the lowering of stock, and those who were slaves resigned from jobs as they qualified for the loose qualifications. As well as this, the taxation to provide all these benefits was sustained by a 5% tax on all inheritance and 1% of all wages. However, this caused an outrage from taxpayers that tore the society apart. Due to these reasons, in 1787, when Edward Gibbon expressed that high taxation and spending of the public monies for free bread and circuses for the populace was one of the causes of the decline of the Roman Empire. Despite the philosophies of warfare from Ashoka's past paradigm, his religious conversion to Buddhism led towards non-violent and peaceful philosophies. Throughout history afterwards, it is evident that such enlightenment and to non-violent acts through religious influences have affected societies as seen in a plethora of figures. During the 1930s protests for independence to be free from English monarchs' rule, colonial India, one figure stood as the leader of the non-violent protests, Mahatma Gandhi. He endeavoured to hold peaceful protests influenced by Hinduism and a collaborative respect for all religions, providing knowledge of how religions utilise this edict of non-violence, stating, "My religion is based on truth and non-violence. Truth is my God. Non-violence is the means of releasing him." While in 1955, Martin Luther King Jr. began peaceful protests under the religion of Christianity to bring about the denouement of racial discrimination, basic welfare rights, and social justice and dignity. Through this desire, he stated, "In spite of temporary victories, violence never brings permanent peace." Why has this one concept, among all the others, influenced governments the most, despite the opposing governments, communism, totalitarian, and socialism? Through benefiting all, when most vulnerable, and considering welfare for citizens, through a government that seeks to enhance all lifestyles. The culmination of these historical figures has led to an understanding that determines how we utilise welfare correctly, seen in our modern systems, such as Australia's and across the globe today. The soldiers of the Roman Empire returning to his family, full of aspiration to receive a pension after service, yet unsure of how it will impact his society. A flash through time. In Australia, a young soldier is despite scared from Vietnam, hopeful as he receives the pension to support his next step in life with a stable future.